I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at traceminerals.com.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we brought back the original very first guest that we ever had on For the Girls, Samantha Zinkovich. If you girls are not familiar with Samantha, she is my talent agent. I have been working with her since 2020. We are going 5 years strong now. And I interviewed her back in 2021 when I launched For the Girls podcast as my first ever guest. I believe it may have been my third or fourth episode of For the Girls, and her agency was not that it was brand new at the time. It was, you know, a couple years in at that point, but she might have started 2018, 2019, but it was like she was just at that point, like really beginning to take off, really beginning to grow. 2020, 2021 was where like she really saw growth for Zinc Talent, which is the name of her agency. And now, I mean, she's 8 years into running the agency, and it is such an amazing business. She is such an amazing businesswoman and friend. I love Samantha. We always have so much to talk about. So there's a lot that we discuss in this episode. And as you girls know, like I tend to have a lot of content creators on the show where, you know, they just get to share their journeys, their stories, their experiences, how they grew to be successful content creators. And they always share their tips and insight, but there is nothing like the insight that you can get from Samantha as the CEO of a talent agency, as somebody who works directly with the brands. She knows what makes for a successful content creator. She knows how to get booked. She knows what makes, you know, content creators not very brand friendly and someone that is really hard to land a brand deal. So we share all of that. We even get into like the whole discourse on brand trips, which I feel like is a very hot topic right now, just seeing what's going on with all like these crazy brand trips. There's just so much that we discuss. And I think if you in any way, shape, or form are curious about the influencer space, not only from the creative perspective, but from the agency perspective, from the brand perspective. Samantha was also previously a PR girl, so she really she knows the ins and outs of every single thing to do with content creation. Like, if you are even 1% interested, not only if you want to be a content creator, but also if you just want to hear the business behind it, Samantha is your girl to listen to. This episode you are going to love. And since back in 2021 when I interviewed her, so much has changed, because even since then, Samantha launched a book. It's a memoir. It's called Delusional. And she came out with a podcast called As Told by Zinc, where she shares so much about the ins and outs of this industry, of her perspective as a talent agent. And yeah, there's so much that Samantha brings to the table. She is so, so, so insightful. And I think that you girls will really love to hear this conversation, even just from like a business owner perspective, from a CEO perspective. Toward the end of the podcast, we get into her own like personal stuff, like how she really works on like having her own identity out of being a businesswoman, outside of being a businesswoman, and so much more. So I know this conversation is going to be a really good one for you girls to hear. And let's not waste any further time. Let's get right into it. Okay, everyone, please welcome Samantha Zinc back to For the Girls. This is your second appearance, and I am so excited. You actually were my first ever guest on For the Girls in 2021. So this is going to be fun to revisit. Introduce yourself. Well, reintroduce yourself. Let's put it that way, to the girls and everyone listening.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You were my first guest as well. And I remember going on your podcast. So much has changed, especially my confidence level, because I remember going on your podcast the first time being so nervous and like rehearsing the questions. And now I'm like a confident queen. So maturing. But I am Samantha Zinc, founder, CEO of Zinc Talent, which is a boutique management influencer management agency. I'm also an author now and podcast host of As Told by Zinc. So lots of new exciting changes and additions to what I do, but overall just Zinc Talent CEO and founder.
Yeah, no, you're a triple threat. CEO, author, podcaster, we love it. And yes, like you said, so much has changed. I mean, that was 2021. That was 4 years ago. It's about to be 4 years ago, actually, that we did that interview. So of course, there's been a lot of growth, highs, lows, everything in between. But one of my favorite things that you left us with in that episode was saying, it was a quote that you said, which was grow with the growth. I don't remember if you made up that quote or if like you got it from someone. It was like a piece of advice, something like that, where I just asked you like, what can you really share? And that was like your biggest takeaway was grow with the growth. And I feel like that in itself can explain the growth of Zinc and like how you've evolved and become super, super, super successful. But I would love for you to share tangibly, like what that like perspective, what that means for you from then to now, like over the last, let's say 4 or 5 years, what has growing with the growth looked like for you?
Yeah, it's crazy because I do remember that. And I feel like that was such a slogan for me in 2021. Mm-hmm. So in 2021, I was growing in terms of hiring, signing. It really was a year that changed everything. Zinc Talent started blowing up 2020 to 2021. And I was able to start hiring full-time agents. I was able to start scaling the business because I was making enough revenue to do so. I never wanted to go the route of getting a loan or investors on board. So everything happened really organically. And a big lesson for me in 2021 was, we're blowing up and I need to get some full-time agents and support because I was drowning. And it was a beautiful thing being able to hire and then seeing us grow even more. So a huge learning was, wow, okay, if we're growing, if we're blowing up, if we're signing a lot of creators, as I'm hiring, we're growing more. And it worked so, so well. Now, 4 years later, things are looking a lot different because I'm not trying to scale the business in terms of adding to the team. I think I really found my sweet spot being a boutique agency. That was always the goal. I never wanted to get to be a large agency and lose sight of, you know, my why and my mission statement. I love being a close-knit family. So having less than 10 employees or around 10 employees is such a good spot for me. So, and having, you know, being capped at 60 something creators is a sweet spot for me. While the employees and the creators don't look the same as they did in 2021, I don't have that mindset of being like, I need to grow and keep up with the growth. The mindset in terms of growth for the business is the success, right? And so that's making sure that the agents that are working for me are really strong and they're able to really adapt as this industry is so vastly changing every single year, you know, and I need agents who are always learning from me. I have an embedded mentorship program within the agency. So it's important that they're taking and learning from me. And I'm also learning from them, being a small but mighty team, right? And then my creators, it's really important that they have inbound that's coming in on top of what we're pitching, which looks a lot different than 2021, where we weren't really looking for inbound. So now we are looking for a mutually beneficial relationship where the creators that we're signing, it is important for them to already have all of these opportunities coming in through their email. And then Zinc Talent is pitching. So we're meeting each other with even more opportunities, right? And it's growing together in terms of the numbers. And also growth to me has been expanding in other avenues, right? So writing a book was so awesome. And then starting a podcast, I never thought in a million years I'd be a podcast host. And I really find that to be such a fun and creative outlet. And I have a lot of other business ideas that I want to add into the agency in terms of divisions. So yeah, 2021, what the growth was hiring and scaling. And now it's more so expanding and evolving and being the best that we can be.
Yeah. It's kind of like the first, like growth in general can happen in different seasons of life. Like there's just always different seasons. So you could be growing in a physically like literal term of like expanding. And then you could also be growing just like internally, like, okay, we're not expanding. We're not trying to get bigger. We're like, we're good where we are, but we're growing and evolving and just like social media, whatever the case is in our ethics and morals, whatever, you know, that is. And even like you just said, like in the past, like there were certain things that you didn't look for. And like now today, there are certain things that you look for, which I also think is probably important to like have that like growth mindset because social media is constantly evolving. Like back when we did that first like podcast 2021, like I wasn't even on TikTok yet. I don't even think you were utilizing TikTok. Like I remember 2022 when I started TikTok, I feel like I remember bringing it to you and being like, I have this profile where I'm getting a lot of views, like can you do something with this? And you being like, we're Instagram people, like we don't do this TikTok thing yet. And then of course, like, you know, it really started to grow for everyone from there. And I feel like so many creators came out of the woodworks that were never Instagram people that started on TikTok. So like, I just feel in general, it's like it's kind of like you have to have eyes everywhere because there's just things that are constantly coming out of like nowhere, honestly.
Yeah, no, I do remember that because it took a long time for brands to even put marketing dollars into TikTok because it was so different than Instagram. Instagram, you can track those metrics. You can embed links. In the beginning of TikTok, it was like, oh, you post and people are posting 5 times a day. It's just getting pushed down the feed. We can't track success. So they're like, this is a scary place. I'm not trying to put money into it. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after you grew a following, brands were realizing that in order to target their next consumer generation, being Gen Z, that they really did need to hop on the app and figure it out. And alas, now, you know, we have so many TikTok creators and partnerships.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So speaking of, you know, growth and everything that we're talking about, how do you really measure, whether it be growth in general or like success? Like what is your method to measuring the success of Zinc on whether it's a yearly basis or maybe if you do it like quarterly, like what does that look like for you? Do you focus on revenue? Do you focus on how many creators came on board or like how many brand deals like were secured? Like what does that look like on the agency side?
Yeah, I would say success to me has, you know, there's a few different forms of this or versions of success. As a business owner, you know, first and foremost, I just want to make sure that my team is good. I have to take care of them in so many different ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're to making sure that they're making money and that, you know, their 401k, all their benefits, their time off, work-life balance. So there's so much that comes into play in terms of my team and then also my clients, my creators. You know, I'm a very empathetic person and caring person. So I just want to make sure that everybody is good before me. And I think every business owner needs to have that like mentality and mindset and not be so like money driven, because at the end of the day, you are taking care of people. And that's a scary, scary thing, truly.
Yeah.
Especially so many people, you know, so you just want to make sure everybody's good. And then another way that I'm just, you know, I guess measuring success is revenue. And something that I've learned throughout the years, you know, I've been in business now for 8 years, that I do realize that there are some really strong years and there's some really low years. And that revenue is all over the place. And being commission-based, it's like you don't know what year you're going to get. Things pop up that we really can't help, you know, like the TikTok ban. And then people were nervous about putting money into TikTok for a while, or things popping up with politics or just anything happening in the world. It really does affect our industry and our revenue streams, or representing influencers that were of the moment and doing everything really well in 2020, 2021 and not evolving. So they're no longer, we're not able to market them well. There's a few different things that like come into play, but yeah, success at the end of the day, running a business, you have to make sure that your revenue is going up, but you also have to go with like the ebbs and flows of it all and realize that you're going to have really strong years and strong months, and you're going to have some low ones and weak ones, and that's okay. And talking to other business owners, you realize that that's just part of the nature, and you got to go with it. And you have to just sort of like stay resilient and strong through it all and realize like you're in business for a reason and that it's not always going to be like up, up, up and everything going well. You're going to have to deal with losses and gains, and there's a lot that comes into it, but business owners have to be strong and understand that, you know, the universe gave them this role for a reason.
Yeah. I don't know why this just kind of like triggered the thought for me. Have you ever heard like people say that in the summer, like things just slow down? Like what, like do you, yeah. Okay. So like, what would be like, do you have like a mindset like tip or like, do you say, yeah, it's true, in summer it slows down? Or are you like, no, I'm not falling for that. Like we can make anything happen at any time. Cause I feel like people always say like, you know, expect the summer to be slow and then like things pick back up for the holidays. Like, but I also feel like there's people doing the damn thing all the time. So what's like, how do you like navigate that? Or like if somebody came to you being like, I'm struggling because of this, it's a summer, like what kind of like advice would you give them?
Yeah, I see that as a business owner. I see that the summers are slow. Everybody's heading to Europe. This is when people are using their PTO. So on the brand side and also our side, I mean, I think all of my agents have had PTO this summer because of traveling, and we have summer Fridays. So across the industry, summer Fridays, a lot of people get off at 1 or 3 p.m. And I think that with the summer being slower, we just have to celebrate it. I used to really push back because obviously as a business owner, you want to make sure like your money is going to people who are working hard all the time. But then you have to really shift that mindset and realize like, these are people in their 20s just trying to enjoy life. And while we're hustling majority of the year, let them have a few months to enjoy the summer. Because if you let people really enjoy their summer and like get out there and travel and not be so work focused, then they're going to perform 110% the rest of the year. But if you have them being workhorses all 12 months and they can't really like enjoy life or experience life, then you're going to have people resenting you and not being 110% throughout the rest of the year. So I've really learned to let people enjoy it. And I think that I also need to have that advice too of like, it's summer, I should be able to take off and enjoy and travel because we shouldn't be working our lives away. It's beautiful. Europe is beautiful. The weather is nice. Go outside. So I think that instead of trying to resist slow summer months, we need to celebrate them more and be okay with it. And in terms of people really feeling that they're affected money-wise, I guess income-wise from that, being a creator, then I do think that it's up to that creator to have multiple streams of income on their own so that when there are some slower months being like – and I think even in between quarters are a little slow too when budget runs out – that they have these other streams of income so they're not stressing out. You cannot be relying on collaborations 100% because, again, we have like payments come in up to like 90 days from the post date. Some payments are late. So you want to make sure that if you are a content creator to have longevity in this industry and career, that you are doing other things. Like you have ShopMy, LTK, maybe you have a business of your own, maybe you have a podcast. I don't know what it is, but do not be relying on collaborations 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. I feel like all of those little things, like, you know, like you said, the like to know it, the ShopMy, even like the Amazon storefront, like it could just keep you afloat. Like it could just keep you like still even relevant because that's another thing too. Like I feel like a lot of creators that I see, like they actually don't post on a daily basis and then they just like pop out with a brand deal every now and then. And it's like, if you look at their page, there's hardly like organic, like outfits, like real life things that they're doing and like, you know, throwing photos in there. So it's like, I feel like actually not only is it good just to like keep it, you know, keep money coming in, but even just like in terms of building your own personal brand, like how, like post real life things that you're doing, post real life outfits that you wore and places that you went in between those brand deals instead of just like popping out every now and then with like a sponsored, because I can't imagine that performs well for a brand. You just like showing up every now and then with like a sponsored post, you know?
I hate that too. It's like, yeah, where they don't have organic content and you're just seeing deals, it's like obviously that's not authentic. And yeah. I do have creators that I represent that have not a lot, but some creators really do get to that point. And all I have to say is it's just burnout at its finest. They're over it. Yeah. Content, I say this all the time. I'm one of the most transparent people that you'll meet in this industry. I've seen it all. I can speak to it all. Content creators, like people think that their life is so glamorous. Pushing out content every single hour of every single day and not having a breather and having brand deals that you don't even have creative control, you resent this industry and you don't want to create content anymore. And also like just all the negativity online, like think of all those large TikTokers from 2020, like Charlie, Addison, like Dixie. When do they ever even post TikToks anymore?
They're gone.
Yeah. And that happens with any sort of creator. You just kind of get to a place where, but they have to have brand deals to survive because they don't have a job. So yeah, people just get burnout really bad.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It really is. But actually speaking on that, you know, booking brand deals and sharing the organic content, you and I just very briefly touched on this when we were just texting, and I'm glad that we didn't like fully get into the conversation because I would love to have the conversation like in full here, where what I was saying was I often have content creators on the podcast and I often have them share their success stories and their advice and their tips and tricks where it's like, here's a proven method. Here's a proven system. This is what I did. You know, I recommend you do it. Now you on the other end, you're not, I mean, yes, you're a creator, of course, but you're not, that's not your job. You're not a content creator. You're on the agency side. You're working directly with the brands. You're the one that's, you know, actually taking talent on, signing the talent, and then booking them. So I would love for you to share from that lens, like, what, first of all, what you look for in terms of signing talent, like what metrics or even aesthetics, just anything in general that do you find important that you could say, okay, this is someone that I could work with. And then fast forward to, like, now you have this person, you're working with them. What do brands look for, and what makes someone easy to book? And then what makes someone, like, hard to book, where it's like, I just cannot get this person, you know, a paid ad. So a well-rounded question there, but just like your full insight on, you know, what you see for content creators.
Yeah. So part one of what do I look for when I'm signing a creator? It's changed so much since 2021 because the industry's changed so much. So last year I was really honing in on micro creators. I feel like they were having a moment, and I loved micro creators because they had a 9-to-5. They were able to, it just seemed really organic and authentic. And so they started blowing up on maybe TikTok or Instagram, and I saw that they had more growth to come. So I was like, you know what? Let me sign these micro creators. And they aligned with, like, what the budgets were looking like last year. Then this year, I'm not looking for micro creators. I am looking for somebody, because budgets are a lot better this year than they were last year. So I am looking for somebody who's a mid-sized creator. And what does that mean? I you know, anywhere from, like, 200,000 to 400,000, because again, I think that if you're so macro and your rates are really high, a lot of brands cannot meet those rates right now. Like, their budgets are in that, like, middle sweet spot. So just to make it, like, what you said, what is success to you? Obviously, part of it is revenue. So if I signed all these micro creators, like, the budgets are reflecting that. So I am now pivoting and going to mid-sized creators, anywhere maybe 100,000 to 400,000. That's good for me. And they have to have a following across platforms, so across TikTok and Instagram. If they only have a following on one platform, I really look for a niche. So on TikTok, if they're pushing out a bunch of skincare, like if they're a skincare creator or a beauty creator or a hair care creator, where they're in that one niche and we can get so many deals within that niche, that's fine for them not to have a following on another platform. I have done that because, you know, especially anyone doing beauty, skincare, hair care, there's so much money and really being in that niche. But that's a whole different conversation, because I also don't recommend, like, being in a niche, because you're stuck in that bucket for forever. And eventually you won't be able to get all the brand deals that you are now. But I am looking for following across platforms. If you have one platform that you really have a niche, I am looking for somebody who's already getting brand deals on their own. So they're having a revenue stream coming inbound, not from them pitching, but inbound with brands reaching out to them, because I want to make sure that they're able to bring value to Zinc Talent. I want to make sure that they're posting brands organically. You know, everyone says be the lifestyle creator. Yes, to a certain extent. You have to also be brand friendly. Brand friendly means that, like, you're posting and sharing brands organically and fashion organically. You're not just, like, chatting like a FaceTime and vlogging and not sharing anything or tagging anything. That's a little too lifestyle for me, where we can't really work with that. You have to be lifestyle, meaning that you're posting across all of these different buckets and niches, however, but you're still showing your favorite products and brands and stuff like that, and you're acting as an influencer. I want somebody who is taking it as a business. You know, this isn't, like, for fun. They really do have to, if they want to work with me, I want to make sure that, like, they're dedicated, like we're dedicated. I don't want them just, like, traveling all over and not taking it seriously and missing deadlines. Like, they have to come in with a level of professionalism to make sure that we're able to do our job well and we are represented well when speaking with these brands. You know, if it's somebody who really isn't taking this career seriously and they're missing deadlines, that is reflected on us and brands won't want to continue working with us. So I have to, like, and I get that vibe from them, you know, just from an intro call, I know who's ready to work, right? I know who is passionate. And if somebody isn't taking it seriously, I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's the best fit. I also am looking, you know, there's so much that comes into it, but you know, obviously they just have to first and foremost be established in this industry. They can't be coming to me. A lot of people come to me and they're like, I want to be an influencer. And we're not a social media manager. If we were if we were, I'd have a much larger following than what I do, right? Like if I knew how to, you know, get people to from 1,000 followers to 100,000, girl, I'd have 100,000 followers too. So not our cup of tea, not our service. We already take on creators who are already established. I also love working with creators who are coming from other agencies. That's totally fine. Because I do feel like Zinc, we're really transparent with what we do. We're close-knit. And it's overall a really good experience. So I don't care if somebody had a bad experience with a previous agency or agent and they come over to us, like that's amazing as well. They already have that experience. Like it just, it's nice kind of working. It's almost like hiring employees. Like it's nice having somebody come, like knowing what's going on and knowing how to run their business already. And the second part was, how can creators be desirable for brands and agencies? This changes all the time too. Right now, you know, we definitely want to see like a lot of personality and chatting and like, because there's so many creators out there that you like love their content, but you don't even know who they are. So give people like an insight into your life. Don't have it just be brand, brand, brand and aesthetic content. You know, we really want to see you chatting to the camera, personality, but also mixed with sharing your favorite brands. We don't want to see like consistent brand deals. We want to see what you're organically loving too. Like, and don't be a sellout too. Like a lot of people come to me saying like, you know, I really want to work with these brands or I want to be more into like the designer space. And then they post Pretty Little Thing. And it's like, you know, you can't just take every brand deal that comes to you, like, and then expect to work with Michael Kors, because once Michael Kors sees Pretty Little Thing, they're not going to want to work with you. So again, that kind of goes with creators, like know that if you're reaching out to brands or management's reaching out to brands, they're also seeing what you're posting on your feed. So if you want to have hair care partnerships, make sure that you're consistently posting hair care on your feed. If you want beauty partnerships, same with that hair care. If your whole feed is fashion, you're not going to have other areas of work and categories of brand partnerships. So make sure that you're posting a little bit of everything. Engage with influencers' paid posts as well. So if you follow creators and they have a Charlotte Tilbury ad, I want you then to comment on that post and say, I love Charlotte Tilbury's XYZ and tag Charlotte Tilbury, because the brand is seeing that and they're going to check you out seeing that you're a creator. And then they're probably going to reach out to you to work with you because you're supporting the ad. You're sharing that you love the brand. And then once they go to your page and see you're a creator and they love your content and you're already posting beauty and maybe Charlotte Tilbury organically, a lot of brands will start coming to you. So engage with paid posts from fellow creators, your colleagues, if you will, engage on paid posts on Charlotte Tilbury or whatever the brand's Instagram and TikTok. Like I want you blowing them up, showing support. And also a little secret is brands are now, they have subscriptions where they're pulling all of the tags. So I want you to be posting all of your favorite brands organically and your dream brands. And I want you tagging them in the photo and the captions, because brands are then seeing those tags and reaching out to those creators. I want you to have your location in your bio. So, you know, when there's events or anything like that, make sure that you have a location in your bio. If you are on the outskirts of New York, like you are, I would recommend putting New York City in your bio, because obviously that's where the opportunities and events are. So when they have paid things, they're reaching out to you for that, knowing that you're in a large city. If you live in like the middle of nowhere, you know, maybe you don't have to do that. But obviously if you're in a large city.
My nearest airport is.
Yeah. But then also my advice to somebody who wants to be like a global creator, if you are wanting to work with U.S. brands and you have a U.S. audience, don't put Europe and Australia and Canada in your bio, because then the U.S. brands won't want to work with you, even if you have a U.S. audience. So maybe keep that like a little hush hush. Another thing too is that you're consistently posting. You know, this is a job. Act like it's a job. Take it seriously. and that you're going to events, you're putting yourself out there, and you're building your own personal relationship with brands and agencies. You cannot rely on your management, because we're building relationships for, and we're a boutique agency, right? But like, we're building our relationships with these brands and agencies. But when we sit down for dinner with them, you know, if I sit down at dinner with Michael Kors, I can't go through all 60 of my creators, you know, it's up to you to go to that event and to shake hands with whoever's handling partnerships, or maybe, you know, go to your management and say, hey, I would love a day of meetings. Like, I want to have meetings in New York so I can meet my dream brands and put myself out there and build my relationships. So don't rely on your management for the relationships. They have those relationships, but in order for you to stand out, you need to be getting your face and your name out there as well. And that's also how you get invited to brand trips. That's like the number one question is like, how can I get invited to brand trips? Your management cannot pitch you to a brand trip, because we don't know when they have brand trips. When a brand creates a brand trip, guess what? When they're in that meeting room, they already have the lineup of the influencers. They're working with influencers, A, of the moment. I have a lot to say on brand trips. I actually just dropped a hot take podcast episode on this. But I feel like we're losing the plot with brand trips, but that's a whole different story. But they work with influencers of the moment, and then they work with influencers who have built a personal relationship with that person, not the brand, the person handling the partnerships, whatever his or her name is. You got to schmooze them, because you're going to be top of mind for these trips and for partnerships and stuff. So I could go on forever, but there's so much strategy. You can't just like sit back and be like, my management's got this. Like, no, right. You have to do your part too. And it's a saturated space. You got to stand out, my girl. Otherwise, like, you're going to get lost, and you're not going to be able to have longevity and keep up with the younger generations that are coming around.
Yeah. See, first of all, there's so many things that you said in there that I have responses to. So I hope that I remember to get back to every single one, because I was like making bullet points in my head. I'm like, okay, I'll talk about that. But what just like the overall response in general is those are very specific, tangible things that I feel like no one talks about. Like, that's why I needed to ask you that question, because creators don't know that stuff. And creators are like, just post every day, post 10 times a day. There's like a thing going on right now. There's like a challenge, like a 20 posts a day challenge right now, where it's like kind of going viral. One girl that like blew up her platform, like, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, you grew so fast. She might've hit like 500,000, a million followers in like a couple months, honestly. And, you know, her video came out being like, well, I posted 20 videos a day, and like, that was that. And so now that's the thing that's happening on TikTok. It's like 20 video a day challenge. Like, these people are like, if she did it, like, that's going to be the reality for me. And the reality is, you click on someone's page and it's like the 20 videos a day, and it's like 30 views, 100 views, 90 views. Like, if what you're putting out is not good content, if it's not quality content, it doesn't matter if you post 50 times in a day. Like, no one needs to see like a video of your dog running around your backyard. Like, post something worth talking about, you know, worth liking and reposting and sharing and whatever.
Horrible trend, by the way. That's not it.
Who has the time in the day to be posting 20 videos a day? I mean, I guess in the very technical sense, it's physically possible, but that's if you're doing nothing else in your day. Like, I mean, I would like a bathroom break at some point. I don't know if that's
allowed. Well, I'm just saying, it's not going to give creators the success that they're looking for. It's not, and it's also going to like F up all of your numbers, because when brands, another thing I didn't touch on this, if you have a following on TikTok, brands don't look at your following, they look at your views. They need to be consistently high. You can't have 300, 4,000, like, they all need to be 4,000, or else your inconsistent views are a red flag to brands. Yeah. So her doing that, it's just like, no brand's going to reach out, because it's inconsistent views.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's like, sure, like, at the end of the day, like, if that worked for someone and she gained a million followers in 3 months, like, I can understand the incentive to want to do it, because it's like, okay, if she did that, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, there's so much more to it than just simply posting. You can post all day long, but like, I love how literally like all of your tips right there were like hardly even about posting. Like, it was like real things, like what your bio should look like, how you should be connecting with the brand or the PR person, whoever it is. Like, these are things that people need to know. It's funny because I, as you obviously know, I just went on my first little like overnight brand trip. I've been invited to a million events, but quite frankly, like a lot of the times they're just not worth me going to the city for. And like this, you know, it was an overnight thing. Like everything was taken care of. Really, really good. That was with Diona Skincare. Like they just like covered all their bases, like dotted their I's, crossed their T's. Like there was no like I remember like being invited to things and like how much money I would spend going into the city and like doing this and doing that. Like, and then at the end of the day, I'm like, what am I getting out of this? Like, okay, I posted a video. I got a t-shirt. Like, okay, thank you. Like, so, you know, that was fun. That was exciting because it's like, yes, I got to meet not only the brand, but I met like the girls who organize, like the PR girls. I met other creators. And now, like you even just said, commenting on other people's posts, like, you know, the girls and I who met on the trip, like we've been engaging with each other. Like, I mean, it took me 10 years of creating content to even get invited to something overnight. So like that in itself is like exciting, but also like I feel like as you were saying those things, I'm like, that's what I've been doing. Like those are the things that I feel like, you know, are very real things that people, you know, need to hear. I would love to, before I say the other thing I was gonna say, I would love to hear, I know it's in your podcast, so everyone could get to your podcast, but what is like your main like hot take on these brand trips? Cause now like we need to know.
Girl, you don't have enough hours in this podcast.
Yeah, just give us like the takeaway. Like, what's your big thing?
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at tracemineralz.com.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself. You're worth it. And your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalerio.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
So I thought that your brand trip that you went on was done well, right? I'm talking about these Waterboy and Jergens and these like larger brands that are all over our social media. We're losing the plot because at the end of the day, I want to like go back to 2017 and think about who pioneered these brand trips, right? It was Revolve. We all remember the Revolve trips. And the girls had to work. Like, these girls were not drinking. These girls were not partying. They were literally going to, yes, beautiful destinations, but they were shooting so many Revolve looks over and over because in order to get invited to the next one, because it was highly exclusive, right? Only the best of the best, the hottest of the hottest were invited on these trips. So you really had to sell every Revolve. Like, that's why you kept seeing them linking. They're in the Bahamas, but they're in all these different outfits and link, 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 link. If they're selling, they get invited to the next one. And so Revolve had a great ROI, right? Because they wanted content in beautiful destinations. They wanted these creators and models posting and showing all the looks. Like, they just did it right. Now I'm seeing these brand trips and it's just like a drunk bachelorette. There's no itinerary. They're
not even talking about the brand.
There's no content. There's no storytelling. And it's like, oh my God, what are we doing? And it's the same influencers over and over again, recycled. And no tea, no shade. I love these influencers. I follow them myself, but I want to see diversity. I want to see a hot take that I have is I want to see more consumers going on brand trips. Let's reward these consumers. And I want to see more people who are organically sharing the product, right? So I want Jergens to take a look at, or Waterboy. I want them to take a look at like who's actually an influencer with a following who's organically sharing and tagging them, that they're like, oh my God, this is like somebody who supports my brand for years. I want to see these people on the trip, right? And I also want the deliverables to be better. Their trips.
There's no requirements. That's why there are no deliverables. There's no like sheet, like whatever you call it, no rap sheet or anything where it's like, okay, here is what we need to do. I don't know. Do you remember? I know you just talked about Revolve, like their trips in beautiful places, but do you remember, this is before I even signed with you, Revolve Around the World?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, but not like the trips where they were sending people. Like, I was there. Like, they did it in New York City. They did it in LA.
Yeah.
It was not like a pay thing. It was like a gifting thing. I was invited. This is 2018. I mean, this was like, I was like, okay, I'm for sure going to be the biggest influencer in the world if I'm invited to this thing. Like, I felt on top of the world. They did it in New York City. It was like main three things. I think it was like New York City, LA, and then there was one other city I feel like that they really did it. And listen, they didn't take care of like getting you there. Like, you know, I paid for my own Ubers and whatever, but they gave you, it was like 5 days worth of events. They gave you like a $3,000 Revolve credit. Mm-hmm. And that was all I cared about, was because I was in head to toe Revolve and we were required 10 photos. So like 10 feed posts. So it was like, say it's the 5 days. It could either be like two posts a day or like one post a day. And like, you're going, whatever. There was requirements on brands you cannot be wearing. Like, say that I had a Revolve jacket on, I could not be wearing Fashion Nova pants and this and that. Like, there were very strict requirements. And although it was unpaid, it was still like a privilege to be invited to this and for Revolve to give you $3,000 worth of clothes. Now, at this time, there was Like to Know It, but Revolve didn't have commissionable links yet. Because now there's Revolve favorites, but back then it wasn't. So like, I don't really know how they were collecting. I think it was really just like engagement, like on your social media. Because back in 2018, I don't even know if we could link on stories yet. I don't feel like linking on stories was like a thing. Stories like just came out, you know? So it was really just about the content. And they had you there to shoot in Revolve clothes and post Revolve clothes, like point blank.
Professional photographers and videographers, which was so cute.
Yeah. You know? And there was a full itinerary. Like, I will never forget, like, everything that we did. It was like one of the days was like in the morning, we went ice skating. It was like wintertime. We went ice skating in Central Park. And then there was like a dinner. And then we went to like Little Sister, I think it was called, like a club at night. Like, there was like full itineraries, like from morning to night. And like, sure, at the club at night, like by that point, you're drinking, but they had endless photography, videography. Everyone was in head to toe Revolve. It was like a Revolve commercial. Like, it was like, you know, so I do, like, I get it. Like, okay, I feel like a lot of people, like some of the girls complain about anything to do with Revolve, anything to do with brand trips. And as soon as they see people going on a brand trip, people get like their panties in a bunch. But like, I completely understand with what you're saying. Cause it's like, at the end of the day, how would this trip incentivize someone to want to buy whatever it is, Waterboy, anything? Like, what would make a consumer want to spend their money on this brand just from seeing these people drunk in Mexico or whatever it is? Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's a, we're losing the plot, and we have for the past few years. And Revolve, I mean, I have like no notes. I think they did everything really well. They knew what they wanted to get out of it. Also, a lot of these.
What happened? Like, why does that, like, why are they?
It's just because the space has changed so much. You know what I mean? And they couldn't, it's just like everyone's doing brand trips now. So it's like, it's less special for people. Mm-hmm. And then influencers weren't really getting paid for the trips. Now it's like influencers are demanding money where they weren't before. It's just the landscape has changed, and it's hard to keep that going and still be super exclusive and still be relevant. It's almost like Victoria's Secret, you know what I mean? It's like they had a moment, and then it's like it's hard to have that like longevity when the world just changes.
Yeah.
So I do think like Revolve did a great job. Now it's like we're losing the plot. And the thing is like Waterboy is a small brand. This is not Adidas. This is not Nike. Like, this is a small startup style brand. So if they want to have a brand trip, they need to think of their why. Is it to go viral? Is it for sales? Is it brand awareness? What is it? And I know it's for sales, because if they are taking all of these investor dollars, putting them into a brand trip with influencers, they need to get sales out of it.
Yeah, want to see it back.
They didn't have a why. And so they really dropped the ball on everything. And yeah, I go really in depth on like what brands should do with brand trips, because I was in PR in the brand side for so many years. So yes, I have like my point of view as an influencer manager, but like I also specialize in brand trips and events and all of that kind of stuff. And brands like Waterboy, if you put investor dollars into that trip, they did not get any sales from that. Yeah, they went viral, whatever, but that was not even like the goal. They just wasted a bunch of money, honestly. And also, yeah. I want to see cooler. If you're taking creators to Mexico, I touch on this too. I don't want to see – I go to Mexico all the time for bachelorettes, and it's the same itinerary that I see these brand trips. It's like we're at the beach club. We're at the pool. We're on the boat. I'm like – girl, we're exhausted. We've done that. We've done that a million times. These influencers can buy the boat. Like, give them an experience that they want to share and have more branded moments throughout it, right? So I was like, it's so cool. None of us go scuba diving. Like, actually have like a scuba diving moment where like they're like, I've never gone scuba diving and I want to try it out. They're going to share their experience, but then have little moments of Waterboy like shown. So the towels can all be Waterboy branded, right? And like every time they're drinking out of their cups, like something, a takeaway from Love Island is like the cups and the phones and the suitcases, like, you know, that brand, right? Where they're trying to recreate it, brands are. So like have a moment that's like people are noticing certain things, or when people are going on the trip, like send everybody like Waterboy luggage. Like, you need to have your branding throughout every single moment, but not like in your face. Like, you want touches of it, and you want excursions that are badass and cool. Like, take them like scuba diving or in a helicopter or just something that they don't do every time they go to Mexico.
Yeah. Another thing I feel like is like, I feel like influencers refuse, like at least like bigger influencers, like large creators, like for some reason, and I'll see them on the brand trip doing this, like they just refuse to even tag the brand in the caption. Like, they won't even acknowledge who they're with. And I don't understand that, because it's like, doesn't the brand, like, wouldn't the brand be angry that, like, they sent you here, you're here with them, they're physically, literally hosting you, and you, like, they're not even tagging that they're with the brand. Like, it's the weirdest thing. And, like, even you saying, like, I feel like the way that brands should do their vetting process for who to find is, like, based on you organically tagging. Like, big creators really don't organically tag. Like, that's the reality. Like, it is very rare that I see a creator 500 plus million followers tag something organically. I think people will not tag anything or link anything if they are not getting paid for it. Like, if there's no commission on the other end, or if it's not a sponsored thing, I never see someone just being like, here's where you can get this. Even down to the littlest things that, like, listen, I'm one thing about me is that I'm not a hater. So if I like your shirt and I comment you, where's your shirt from? And you say it's from Aritzia, I have it linked on my Shopmy or my Like to Know It. I will go on your Shopmy or your Like to Know It and I will get it because you said it's from Aritzia. But if I said, where's your shirt from? And you say it's on my Like to Know It, now you can fuck off, because answer the question. I didn't say, where can I find it? I asked you what the shirt is. So, like, if you won't even, if you're going to gatekeep the brand because you won't even tell me it's from Aritzia because you're afraid I'll go on Aritzia's website and find it without going to your Like to Know It, then I have no respect for that. Like, for me, it's like, I will shop your shop my, I will give you the commission. But if I ask you where it's from, just tell me and then say, and you could find it in my shop my. I do it all the time. When I link something and girls say, what's the brand? I will at the brand. It's from Meshki. I linked it in my LTK. You could find it there. Because yeah, sometimes, sure, I could say it's from Meshki. And then you go on the website and you're like, I can't find this dress. Where is it? So sure, it's on my Like to Know It for easy access. But a lot of people will not ever mention a brand unless they are guaranteed getting paid, getting something out of it. And it's like, there was even like, this was like, there was a lot of discourse. It was a big conversation when I think one girl made a video saying something like, cause like people went off on her cause she wore an outfit. It went viral. There were like thousands of comments of everyone asking where it's from. And she wasn't answering. And people were responding to those comments saying the brand, and she was deleting the comments and then blocking those people. So it like blew up. So then she made a follow-up video being like, why, this is my job, so why should I do my job for free? If you want to know where it's from, get it from my bio. And like, to like a degree, I can understand the rationale, but I do not, like, no, just tell somebody where your shirt is from. Like, it's super annoying. So I do feel like that's a big problem with brands. They can't find the big creators who are sharing organically because no one wants to share organically unless there's a check at the end of it.
Oh yeah. And you don't need big creators for a brand trip.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, everyone's kind of getting exhausted of seeing the same influencers in rotation on these trips. And yeah, they're not even posting the brand. What blew my mind is I literally saw that some creators went with Clarins to Europe, like right a few weeks back or something. And I had no idea because were just saying we're in Europe. They didn't say we're in Europe with Clarins. I like caught a small tag somewhere hidden. And then I did my research and I looked into Clarins and I'm like, Clarins literally flew out macro creators for, I don't even know what. I don't see any content on it. I don't see any tags. Like,
what's the point?
I just think that the influencers are in Europe having fun because that's how they're posting. And we're losing the plot. I don't know what's going on with PR agencies, but like I'm available to like go in and help y'all out because I feel like we're just throwing money at a wall right now. And you guys
and
are
nothing is sticking.
Nothing is sticking. Like, I feel like how are people not understanding how to do a brand trip? It's a work trip. It is not for funsies. It is a work trip. You need to have you need to have branding moments, professional photographers, videographers. They don't even have photographers anymore. Mm-hmm. They're literally just bringing the social media manager with her iPhone.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're just like hoping that everyone makes content out of it. It's like,
and they're just using like, they're using trending audios. Like, trending audio isn't going to sell your product. What? stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sick of seeing, and also I want to see something out of the box. I keep seeing the same damn brand trip. Like, why don't you get your PR team together and say, how, you know, if you want to like ruffle some feathers, you can, but use your mind,
yeah.
Like put together like a cool brand trip, not just like the same, like we're exhausted, guys.
Yeah. I feel like the brand trips are becoming a little too catered to TikTok, like the trending audios. Like, we're not even getting a feed post. Like, people aren't even taking a selfie and posting that they were just with Clarence. First of all, I didn't even see one. When we got off, you could tell me who was there. I didn't even see one. And I'm sure I know these creators did not see one of them with Clarence. Same thing with all the other trips. Like, even when Tarte goes, like, we're not even getting a static feed photo, like a still image on your page tagging Tarte and saying like, thank you for sending me. Like, we're getting the behind the scenes TikToks, which is cool to a degree, because it's like, yeah, we want to like see what it's really like there, but like that should be like the backup content. It's like the professional content of like doing, you know, the deliverables and all that, like we said. And then it's like, oh, here was the behind the scenes of like how much fun we had at dinner, you know. It's like we're not even getting an image, we're not even see, like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's a waste of money.
And then these brands have no budget for an actual sponsored post. Well, that's why.
But like a brand like Waterboy is too small, relying on investor. And I don't know this for sure, so I don't want to say they have investors, but I have a pretty good idea, you know? And like, they need to just be careful where they put that money. I've seen too many brands end up like going bankrupt and not being able to make it because they don't know how to even have like influencer campaigns. They're just working with their favorite influencers who aren't even a fit and just throwing money out. And then they go bankrupt and they're like, I don't know what happened. Well, you have no strategy.
Yeah. I can tell you what happened.
Yeah. I'm like, am I the only one with a brain around here anymore? I'm like, what is going on?
No, it's true. It's true.
It pains my soul as like an empath because I'm like, I genuinely feel bad.
I know. I know. It's a hard watch. Before I forget this thought, this was another thing when you gave your whole spiel and I was like, wait, I'm making notes. This was the one other thing that like, I really wanted to go back to, which was, even just like a personal thing that I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it. You said like what makes, you know, someone bookable, like makes brands want to work with someone, like, you know, seeing more brand friendly, tagging the clothes, tagging the hair, tagging the skin, whatever, and not just FaceTime style content, just like talking to the camera, which is like essentially how I built my TikTok following. And I feel like one thing that I've really just like obviously become aware of over the years from like starting TikTok to now is like, you know, my views aren't as high as they once were. And it's because I really tried to pivot from just doing sitting talking style videos, which like I always try to incorporate every now and then. And like, I could always get better at like, yeah, I could still sit and talk and share my story while like doing my makeup or while doing my hair. So this way it's like, I'm kind of like getting like killing two birds with one stone. So right then and there, that's something I'm like, okay, I could take note of doing that. But like, I really had to, you know, shift from just that style of content for a multitude of reasons. One, because I was sharing a lot of story times as a single woman and like in my life at that time, it was relevant and it was like things that I was comfortable talking about. Now, as someone who is just shy of a few months of getting married, it's like, I'm not going to talk about story times with my husband. Like, I'm not going to be like, so this is the fight we got in. Like, you know, it's like, I'm not going to be doing that. So I don't, like, I had the story times, I had the crazy things to talk about. And now it's like, okay, I'm not doing that now. So like, I'll always like sprinkle in like advice and things that like pertain to like my podcast episode for the week. But I try to lean more into lifestyle and beauty and fashion and all of the above. And like, while like accepting that, like, okay, this isn't the audience that like I didn't build my audience on this. So I know that my original audience, like, might not be that into this type of content, but you know, the focus is on gaining a new audience of like new people who like what you're doing, you know, even now, and they don't even know about the content that I used to make back in 2022, you know? So, I think that that's like a big thing is like, recognizing and just saying like, okay, like if I'm like in too deep into like the sitting and chatting content, like that's also not really like brand, it's just not really like brand friendly, like brands wanting to work with someone like that just because you have a following, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, when you started with TikTok, like no one knew what they were doing.
What it even, yeah, was, yeah.
Yeah, you were just like, this is working. Like, let me just keep posting. And yeah. It was also like a fun outlet for you, you know, being on Instagram all those years. Like, I think that you were having fun just because you do have a great personality. So you're like, let me just sit down and yap about my experience with dating. And it worked. But something good about you that I love is like you're able to pivot and evolve where a lot of creators would still be posting the same thing that you were in 2021, 2022 that was working at that time. A lot of creators don't want to pivot and evolve. And again, they get left behind. But you are really good at being like, what's going on? What do I need to do? Like, because you're treating it like a business.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect little segue. We got two more questions for you. And that was exactly what I was just about to ask you. Was about like what, I guess, whether it be like advice or perspective on like content creators, aspiring content creators, treating this like a business. Because at the end of the day, being an influencer, quote unquote, being a content creator is not a 9-to-5 job. It is a 24/7 business. Like it never stops. Anything can be content at any given point of the day. You could post at any given time. There's really like there's just no like restrictions. It's not like, okay, I'm clocking in and I'm clocking out. Like it's something that you need to be nurturing on a daily basis. So what would be your, you know, input, insight on for people like to know what that means? Okay. I'm posting my content. I want to be a content creator, but how do I treat this like a business?
I would say that you need to be posting brands organically. Just because you're not getting paid for it doesn't mean like you can't be posting and sharing. Because once a brand is looking at your feed, if you aren't brand friendly and you don't have products and links and all that stuff, they're not going to want to work with you because they feel like you're not going to be able to properly market or sell their product. Like, there's so many creators that reach out to me wanting to be signed, and I go through their feed and they just have a following. There is a difference between an influencer and a content creator and somebody who just has a following. Anyone can get a following these days. I see quite literally children have a following on TikTok. So just understand that because you have a following doesn't make you an influencer. Just because you have views doesn't make you an influencer. And that's kind of something that you learn too of like, obviously you started as an influencer, but when you were posting the dating things, when I went to you and I was like, yeah, your views are really good, but the brands are not seeing any products. And you're like, okay, let me pivot. Let me like start introducing products and in fashion and stuff. So there's so many other creators like that who are just, they got a following because they were chatting about something and they keep chatting, or they're sharing vlogs or travel. And that's great. And you have followers because you have great content. But again, not brand friendly. You're not drawing the brand in. So if you want to treat it like a business, I would re-listen to this podcast episode and take notes of everything that I'm saying and make sure that you're implementing that into your day and not just like posting. Like you want to make sure like that you're posting and tagging and linking and doing all of these things. That and commenting and engaging and going to events and connecting with brands, saying hi, DMing them, like you have to put in the work to be successful, right? And also management, it's very hard to get management these days. Management's looking for all of these things as well. Just because you have a following doesn't mean you're going to get signed, unfortunately. Yes, that was the case in 2021. When we spoke the first time, you know, it was like when I was signing people, it was like, yeah, oh, you have a following. I wasn't really looking for criteria. Now that there's criteria to get signed anywhere. So you want to make sure that like re-listen to this episode and put in the work and do all of this because it's a job and it's such a saturated space that if you don't stand out, then people aren't going to pick you because there's other creators of the same following, the same niche that are doing it better. And they're the ones that's going to get management and they're the ones getting brand deals. So.
Yep. So true. With all of that being said, like we just said, it's a very busy business and it's a 24/7 business and it's a constantly evolving and changing. So you always got to be on your shit. Not to mention that, like we just said, not only do you run the talent agency, but you came out with a book, you launched a podcast. So you're a very busy woman. To close out, I want to get a little bit more personal with you of just like, How do you avoid burnout? How do you make an intentional time for yourself on a daily basis? You have this flourishing business. You have these side projects. When does Samantha time come into the picture here?
So this has been, ever since the beginning of starting my business, even before I was able to leave my 9-to-5, like throwing it back to 2017, my personal life and balance was like never an issue. I'm a social butterfly. I have so many friends. I am constantly in relationships. I am always doing fun things. I do not remember a time that I was buried in work that I couldn't enjoy my life. And I'm so grateful. I see other people really dedicating like their whole life to their job. And like, that's their journey, their experience. For me, like I've always had fun. I'm still having fun. It was never an issue with balancing like my personal life. If I want to go to a workout in the morning, I can go out to a workout. If I want to do Pilates at night, I could do that. If I want to go get dinner with friends, I have dinner with friends tomorrow night after work. And then Wednesday, I have another dinner with somebody. And then I don't even know. I might have a date Thursday. Like, I'm chilling. I'm having a good time. So yeah, I think that if you just like know how to balance your life, and like I work smart, not hard, and that's always helped me. So that like cuts the hours significantly. I can do like, I'm a New York City hustler, like through and through. I can do like 24 hours of work in a couple hours. Like I'm really good at that. I don't overthink things. Like I'm very confident with myself and my work. And so anything that I'm doing, it's quick, it's fast. I'm working smart, not hard. But with that, we do sell our soul to the business, right? So like a new journey that I am on is really like finding my identity outside of the business, which is, I didn't realize until recently that I lost my identity to the business. I've been doing this for 8 years, which is crazy. And in the beginning of a business, especially a successful one, you are pouring everything into it, right? Like it's so awesome seeing something grow and being successful at your craft and making money and having the recognition, right? And so I just started becoming Zinc Talent, and Zinc Talent was becoming me. And it's really hard to explain, especially if somebody has not gone through this. And I see this happen in LA all the time, where it's like they become their business, and it's like, what is our identity outside of the business? And I've realized this like through everything. It's like I'm constantly thinking of Zinc Talent. Is everything okay? Are we growing? Are we expanding? Like I'm not able to like let go and be like Samantha again. So I'm trying to like learn like, okay, I know Samantha pre-business of when I was like a PR girly in New York City, dating around and having fun. And like I had my own identity then, and I was trying to figure it all out. And then for the past 8 years, I lost my identity and I am Zinc Talent. It's like I've like morphed into the business, and like the book and the podcast, it's all Zinc. Like it's literally, I have Zinc tattooed on me. Like I am Zinc. So now that I'm single, because I had recently broke up with my boyfriend, and being single in your 30s is so interesting, that I had this realization that I lost my identity of Samantha outside of Zinc Talent. Even my Instagram feed, I'm going down this feed and I'm like, God, if a man followed me, I look just like a business professional. Like, and I'm overthinking everything. If I go to a concert, I feel like I can't post that I'm at a concert because people will judge me. And I can't show a little bit of arm on my Instagram because, God forbid, a CEO has an arm. It's just, I lost sight of like me. And I'm trying to learn myself outside of Zinc. Zinc Talent's not going anywhere, but I need to be like Samantha again, separated from Zinc Talent. So that's just something that I'm embarking on this year. It's not going to be overnight, but also it's just like my feed is like so, it's like CEO coded, right? Like I just want to like be me again, and I don't have to be in blazers every day and in heels and composed. Like I can just be a fun 30-something-year-old woman, mm-hmm, dating and figuring it out and like living her best life. And so I'm learning, I want to learn to, and again, this is something I'm learning. I haven't figured it out, so don't come to me for advice, but I want to be able to like close my laptop at 6 p.m. and then like go to Samantha. Like I want to kind of, and I feel like you do this really well of like being able to have, because you really know your feminine energy and how to like separate that from your masculine energy. I do think that you're very masculine in your profession. And then when Joe comes home and you're cooking for him and like, you're really like Victoria, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how to do that and I'm learning. And so I also have not taken a day off in 8 years. No, not even lying. And I thought that was like cool. That's not fucking cool. Like I need to like vacation. Like I would vacation being on my laptop working like East Coast hours in Europe. That's sick. So I my advice to people is like, I lost myself to my business for so many years and I lost sight of myself and my identity. And it's not cool to work your life away because I have missed out on so many things. Like maybe I'd be married with kids right now if I didn't like sell my soul to my business. Who knows? So I'm just trying to like really separate, not separate it because I hate that word, but I'm trying to find Samantha again. And I think it's such a beautiful thing and better late than never, right? So I think any entrepreneur out there, like, yeah, it's so fun in the beginning, but like also don't lose sight of yourself through it all. Even as a content creator, because as a content creator, you don't have a 9-to-5, you're posting all the time. And that's not really you. Obviously you have a persona, like you have an aesthetic, like don't lose sight of like you, like the true you, make sure that you always come back to that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my 2025 journey, if you will. I'll come back in another 4 years and let you know how it goes.
You're like, so now it's been 4 years of not taking a day off, actually. No, listen, I get what you're saying. Yeah. So I get what you're saying, because you're like, I don't like that verbiage of like, I want to separate the two and like, you know, have these two isolated personas where it's like, I work by day and I, you know, do this by night. It's like, it's really just, I feel like, about prioritizing like things that you actually like, okay, you're prioritizing having fun where you're like, I'm getting dinner and whatever, but it's like the things that make you, you are separate. So whether it's like hobbies, like anything, just like anything that you are like, oh, I do this for me. Like you could do it solo, completely by yourself. It has nothing to do with getting dinner with friends. It's like, this is just something that I spend time doing because I enjoy doing this thing. Like those are the little pockets of time where you're like, just being Samantha, because you're like literally just doing it for you because you enjoy it. Like there's no monetary compensation out of it. There's no, it's not because like, you know, your friends want to do it, like whatever the case is. It's literally just Samantha time, you know? Like for me, that might be like literally just taking a nap. Like I have my things that like I just like always love to do and like incorporate into my day on a daily basis. And I feel like that's when you're able to just like say, oh, wait, I don't have to separate. It's not like, okay, 9 to 5, this is who I am. And then 5 to 9, this is who I am. It's just incorporating and finding the little pockets of time where you're like, no, I love to do bop, 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 whatever it is. And I incorporate that always in my life, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's like a mental thing too. It's like, yes, like your hobbies and your interests, but it was like, it's very mental for me. And I feel everything so deeply too, of like when you're running a business, there's so many highs and lows and it really does affect your mental health. And I just want to, I've poured so much into this business and it's been 8 years. And like, now it's time for me to like take a step back and like pour into Samantha again. And yeah, I mean, like part of it is interest and hobbies, but a huge part is like my mental and my personality and my identity. And it's like, I'm constantly thinking of the company and texting people and I don't have boundaries and I don't like, I don't take time off. I don't reset and I need to be, I just want to be like this fun loving girly girl and mm-hmm. like separate and like realize that the company is not going to burn down, you know, like it's okay. So yeah, there's layers to it. Yeah. It's very deep. It's very personal, but I'm glad that I found this out now before I'm a mom, because mm-hmm. I do think that if I still had the same mentality when I was a mom, I would be a very absent mother. And that, you know, that really saddens me. So I'm glad that like I can discover this now and make the changes that I need to do before I have somebody that I'm taking care of and that I really need to pour myself into them.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's like, you know, I'm just a girl. Like I want to just be a girl. Like I could also just be, I could actually literally just be a girl. Like that's the best news I've ever heard. I love that.
Yeah. I'm like, damn, I want to, and it's okay to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Like I take care of everyone all the time. And it's like, I really want to find a partner that takes care of me. And then I don't have to be like this, like masculine business owner all the time. I'm now dating and it's the funniest thing because I won't even talk about work. Like, yes, I need to ask what he does for work, but like old Samantha, I'd be like, I'm a female founder. I have a podcast. I wrote a book. Yeah. Badass, because it was like all I knew. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, so like, what do you do on weekends? Like, mm-hmm. what do you do for fun around here?
Like, I remember like the first couple months of like dating Joe, like saying to him one day, like, do you know what I do for work? Like, he was like, no, people ask me all the time. And he's like, and I just say like, she just like posts on like online. I'm like,
I'm dead.
Okay, way to make me sound like I do like OnlyFans or something.
Just
like,
post.
Like no shade, but like just to be like, yeah, she just like posts stuff online. I'm like, what the hell? Like, no. Yeah, we never talked about that. Like, I don't, and like the funny thing is like you actually don't have to. Like you think that you have to because when you're so immersed in like your job and it's like, listen, I love what I do. I'm proud of what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. Like you think you have to lead with that when in reality, like when you actually discover like, oh, this is my business. This is not me, my identity. This is my business. This is a thing. This is not me as a human being in like my heart and soul. Then it's like, oh my God, there's a whole other person in here. Like, and then you're like unraveling, like, and then you can lead with just you. And it's like, oh yeah. And I also have this badass, you know, multi-million dollar business. Like, yeah. Well, yeah. What about it? Like, oh, you have a question? Yeah.
Well, women. Okay. Because there's a difference. Like men want a driven and ambitious woman. Right. But they don't want to sit there and talk about stocks and bonds with you.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference. They want to make sure, and you can be ambitious and driven. Like if you're, you know, taking care of yourself, like if you're like, oh yeah, I'm working. I'm always challenging myself in every area of work. Love doing it for my mental health and like physical. I am going to like workouts. And then I love reading. Like being ambitious and driven can like fall into all these categories. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're a CEO.
Yeah.
When you say like, see, they don't want to be with somebody who's going to be an absent mother. And that is not going to give them attention because they're a CEO. So know the difference. Like men don't want somebody who's like dedicated to their job, like 100%. They don't have time for other areas. They want just a woman who takes care of herself. And like, mm-hmm. She's not just like coasting through life.
Yep. No, it's so true. It really is so true.
We're learning.
Yeah. Yep. And that is the perfect, perfect, perfect message to end this with. I had so much fun having this conversation with you. You and I can chat for hours and hours and hours and hours. I'm pretty sure when we did your podcast, we like stayed, even after we finished recording, we stayed on for like another 2 hours. Joe comes home. He's like, is dinner ready? I'm like, dinner. Ooh, forgot about that.
We've been chatting for so long.
I know. We were just like going on and on and on. And I just love that we can literally talk forever. I mean, you're so full of insight and wisdom. And I know that the girls are going to love this as much as I love chatting with you. So where can everybody find you and all of the things that you have to offer? The book, the podcast, your socials, whatever.
Yeah, so I know you'll link anyways, but yes. The company is Zinc Talent, and you can see all of our brand partnerships and events and our community and our creators. We do a lot of awesome things. And then I'm personally Samantha Zinkovic, where you see very CEO driven content.
No arms are posted. Don't worry. You won't see Samantha's arm. You won't see her at a concert.
I am like, okay, I need to change it up a little bit. And then my book is really, it's like, it's a memoir, but it feels very like Emily in Paris style. So it's not, it's like part workbook, part like memoir of like just going from being a PR girly to being a business owner and everything in between. And also really, if you loved all the insights here, I have so much tea in the book about the industry. It's called Delusional and you can get it on Amazon. And then my podcast is As Told by Zinc, where I'm a little too honest on that thing. So. But definitely for anybody who's in the industry, like aspiring content creators, like tune into all of my things, all of my resources, because I kind of feel like I'm the only one that's like telling the truth about a lot of it. So yeah. I'm here to help, not hold people back.
Yeah, you're an open book. And even just like the podcast in itself is a testament to that. Like I feel like, who even is the CEO of other talent agents, like we don't even know who that, you know, like you're very like front facing, forward facing, you're very hands on, which is really big. And I also think like it goes two ways. In one way, it's like, great, like the transparency, like the CEO is so involved and yada, yada, yada. It's more like a family. On the other end, it's like, that's when we start to learn, maybe because we're a bit of a control freak, where it's like, I know no one's going to do anything better than me. So I need to make sure that I get shit done right. And you know what? I'm here for it. So I have nothing to say about that, because if anyone's a control freak, it's me. So I'm into it.
It's a lot, but it's fun. And we also have a newsletter on LinkedIn too. LinkedIn is like such a popular place.
So
we have a lot of industry insight there. So there's so many resources if anybody's interested in learning more.
Yes, I love it. Thank you, Samantha, so much for being here. And thank you, girls, for listening. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.